probing further, Finn told himself. It wasn't as if he and Rey were going anywhere. Not now.
Han Solo, he queried hesitantly. The Rebellion General?
No,
Rey broke in, half accusingly, half admiringly.
The smuggler.
Huh?
If he had been bemused before, Finn was now thoroughly bewildered. Without thinking, he addressed the shaggy mass lumbering along in front of him.
Wasn't he a war hero in the fight against the old Empire?
Though the Wookiee uttered something guttural and incomprehensible, Finn thought he managed to catch the gist of it. Something along the lines of, yeah, I guess, kinda. Of course, the giant could equally have been confirming what Rey had said. Having no way of knowing whether his intuition or the girl's identification was correct, he trailed along in confusion. It did not occur to him that both might be equally accurate.
Rey could not keep from looking around, seeing the ship she had stolen in an entirely new light. No wonder it was crammed full of modifications. No wonder it had demonstrated unusual speed and maneuverability.
The Millennium Falcon.
She could not keep the wonder out of her voice.
This is the ship that made the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs.
12 parsecs.
Entering the cockpit ahead of the others, Han scanned the console. A wave of something washed over the Millennium Falcon's rightful owner. Not nostalgia, that wasn't part of his makeup. But there was definitely something. Possibly remembrance of old friendships, or adventures long past, or exotic destinations once visited. Most likely the financial opportunities missed. Moving forward, he let his hands rest on the main console as his eyes continued to rove from instrument to monitor to...
What the devil was that?
Moving slightly to his right, he touched a couple of contacts and was rewarded with a readout that was anything but pleasing.
Hey, some moof milker installed a compressor on the ignition line.
Uncarplot did.
Rey saw Finn shoot her a look, and she glanced away, abashed.
I spent some time poking around all the ships parked at the outpost, mostly at night. It was a way to learn some things. I was careful, and nobody much cared anyway, since I never took anything or tried anything.
She brightened.
Made it a lot easier when we filched this one, though it wasn't my first choice.
Han nodded knowingly.
I can relate to that. What halfwit puts a compressor on an ignition line?
She nodded in agreement.
I thought it was a mistake, too. Puts too much stress on the hyperdrive flow.
Stress on the hyperdrive flow,
Han echoed, reaching the same conclusion at the same time. For an instant he looked puzzled, and just a tad curious. Who was this girl, who spoke so knowledgeably of flow rates and ignition pressures? His curiosity didn't last long. Too many other matters of greater consequence were on his mind.
Chewie, put him in a pod and send him back to Jakku, or anywhere else local they want to go.
Wait! No!
Rey moved toward him. A stern stare halted her in her tracks, but could not silence her.
We need your help.
His brow wrinkled.
My help?
Holding her ground, she indicated the silently watching BB-8.
This droid has to get to the nearest resistance base as soon as possible. He's carrying a map that leads to the present location of Luke Skywalker.
The strangest look came over the Falcon's owner. In an instant, and in response to Rey's distressed request, all the hardness seemed to drain out of him. For a moment, he was no longer on the ship. He was not even in Jakku's system, but somewhere else. Unable to stand the lack of response, Finn spoke up.
You are the Han Solo who fought with the Rebellion? If so, then you knew him.
Knew him.
The flinty stare had gone hazy, the strong voice soft.
Yeah, I knew Luke.
Well then,
Finn continued,
Maybe you could...
He broke off as a distant but distinct metallic thunk reached them inside the Falcon. Snapping back to the present, Han was all business again as he scowled in the direction of the ship's loading ramp.
Well, that tears it. Don't tell me a Rathtar's gotten loose.
Without another word, he vacated the cockpit, hurrying back the way he'd come. Everyone else followed, with BB-8 bringing up the rear. Neither Rey nor the droid had the slightest idea what was going on. Finn did, and wished he didn't. Though he'd never seen a Rathtar, he knew a little something about the species. The little he knew was more than enough. He had to struggle to keep up with the Falcon's owner, who moved with surprising speed. Not unlike his ship, the trooper realized.
Wait! Wait!
He implored the older man. Ignoring him, Han exited the Falcon onto one of the service decks of the enormous freighter and headed directly for the nearest control panel.
Hold up now. I need to be sure what you said. A what's gotten loose?
Rathtar,
Han replied curtly.
No.
Finn was shaking his head.
You're not hauling Rathtars.
Han spoke without breaking stride.
I'm hauling Rathtars.
Materializing within and above the console, a host of images revealed both the interior and exterior of the hulking freighter. One of the latter revealed the approach of a non-military transport. The sleek craft nudged its way along the hull, like a parasite hunting for an easy way into a potential host. Not recognizing the ship's design, Finn focused on Han instead. The pilot's expression showed that he was not pleased.
You recognize the arrival,
Finn said. It was not a question.
From the look on your face, I can tell you wish you didn't.
You could say that,
Han replied.
It's the Guavian Death Gang.
He looked over at the Wookiee, who moaned confirmation.
Yeah, they must have tracked us from Nantoon. You'd think traveling through hyperspace you could throw people off. Not these guys. That's never good. They're persistent. I hate that.
Hate what?
Han didn't look at him.
When someone who wants to kill us finds us.
Abandoning the cockpit, he and the Wookiee headed off toward a circular corridor opening. Once again, Finn and Rey found themselves reduced to following.
What's a Rathtar?
Rey asked Finn. They were now hurrying down a passageway that had, like the rest of the lumbering freighter, seen better times. Splashes of paint and old stain substituted for more efficient indicators, while unidentifiable crates and piles of gear were piled haphazardly in corners and against the walls. It was Han who replied first.
You want the scientific description? They're big and dangerous and ugly.
Okay,
she responded.
Why would anyone want something big, dangerous, and ugly? Who would want something big, dangerous, and ugly and be willing to pay for it?
Where the hell was that access way?
Han wondered. Girl sure had a lot of questions.
People have funny hobbies,
he explained as he kept moving fast.
Some are collectors. There are those who collect different kinds of galactic currencies. Some who collect old liquor containers, a few who like to accumulate hollows of famous entertainers. Seems like the more money they have, the bigger the things they like to collect. There are even a handful who like to collect biological specimens. Those with money collect live ones. Those without money become scientists.
He gestured, and they turned a corner. Finn moved closer to Rey.
I know of a perfect example that explains everything you'd ever want to know about Rathtars.
She eyed him expectantly.
Ever hear of the Trillia Massacre?
She shook her head.
No. Good,
he replied, and that was the extent of his explanation, briefly referencing an incident so vile and depraved that he wished only to assure himself she knew nothing about it.
So,
she continued, turning her attention back to Han, who at least seemed willing to explicate a little.
You're carrying these Rathtars to a collector?
He nodded.
I got three going to King Prana. Kings not only like to collect, they like to boast about their collections. Seems Prana's in competition with the regent of the Moliarj system. The regent doesn't have a Rathtar in his private zoo. Neither does anybody else.
There's a reason for that, Finn muttered.
So I got this contract to get some for Prana. 3. It was difficult work. I'm expecting a bonus, and I'm not ready to give it all up just because of the Guavian Death Gang.
3? Finn could hardly believe what he was hearing. How'd you get them on board?
Han looked over at him.
I could tell you that Chewie and I got a bunch of their favorite food, tied it to a stick, and let them into the holding bay. But that would be a lie. Let's just say I used to have a bigger crew.
Striding effortlessly alongside, Chewbacca groaned assent. Behind Finn, BB-8 beeped a question, to which the Wookiee readily replied. Droid and Wookiee then entered into a rapid-fire conversation, the sound of which made Finn's head hurt. He was wondering why Han called a halt in the middle of an unremarkable section of corridor until their guide activated a hidden wall control and a hatch opened in the floor. He gestured for them to descend.
Get below deck until I say so. Don't go wandering around. The ship is big enough to get lost in, and there are areas you don't want to go.
He smiled thinly.
Some of the cargo would be glad to see you, but you wouldn't want to see it. And don't even think about trying to take the Falcon.
Ray indicated the waiting droid.
What about BB-8?
He'll stay with me. If he's that important to you, that'll ensure you don't try anything funny. I'm still not sure I buy your story.
Finn felt a little chill. Fooling the girl had been easy enough. But this was Han Solo. Make one mistake, say one wrong thing, and he was liable to find himself not just challenged, but dumped outside, without an atmosphere suit. He was going to have to watch his words more carefully than ever. If Han found out that he had a stormtrooper in his midst... No, Finn corrected himself. Ex-stormtrooper. FN-2187 was dead. He was Finn, and no longer a fighter for the First Order. Why, the best pilot in the Resistance could testify on his behalf. If only he were alive. Halfway down the hatch stairway, Ray paused to look back.
What happens now?
Han's attitude softened slightly.
When I get rid of the gang, you can have your droid back and be on your way.
He glanced across at BB-8.
I'm used to dealing with droids.
The Rathtars!
Finn couldn't keep from asking.
Where are you keeping them?
A thunderous wham sounded behind him, and he jumped, stumbling toward the open hatch. Behind an oversized, triple-reinforced port, an orange orb appeared. Finn assumed it was just an eye of some kind, but it was still big, dangerous, and ugly. Finn's heart slammed against his chest.
Well, there's one,
Han said nonchalantly.
Or part of one, anyway.
For a second time, something massive rammed against the opposite wall, and the deck shuddered under their feet.
Not real bright, Rathtars. You'd think by this time they'd have figured out they can't break out of their holding compartments, but they've been banging away at the walls ever since Chewie and I got them on board. They don't seem to get tired.
Maybe they just want food.
Finn had managed to calm himself. Han cocked an eye at him.
You volunteering?
For an instant, Finn wondered if their guide was being more than half serious. Then Han smiled.
Don't worry. I don't think a Rathtar would eat you anyway. You're not their natural prey. Take you apart piece by piece and stomp on the pieces, yes, but not eat you. Now get below, and keep quiet.
What are you gonna do?
Ray asked from the opening.
I've never heard of a Guavian death gang, but it doesn't sound like something one man can handle.
She nodded toward Chewbacca.
Not even one man and a Wookiee.
Han shrugged.
Same thing I always do. Talk my way out of it.
At this, his towering companion uttered a series of short, sharp moans and grunts. Han frowned up at him.
That is so unfair. Come on.
Again, the countervailing moaning.
Of course I do. So far.
They started down the corridor back the way they had come, arguing all the way.
Yes, I do.
Rey and Finn heard Han saying as he and Chewbacca turned the far corner.
Every time.
They were alone in the subdeck access way. Except, Finn reminded himself uneasily, for the ravening monstrosity on the other side of the near wall. Thankfully, it had ceased its fruitless attempts to break free.
What now?
He heard himself asking. Standing in the hatch opening, Rey peered downward.
We follow his instructions. After all, he's Han Solo. He must know what he's doing.
Han's thoughts were working overtime as he and Chewie headed toward the cargo bay, where the Guavian ship was most likely to have gained entrance. On a warship, or even on the Falcon, controls could have been activated to keep them out, but the lumbering freighter presently in his charge had thoughtfully and, unfortunately, been equipped with instrumentation, allowing unhampered access from the outside. It was a safety measure, designed and installed to ensure that in the event some fool crew locked themselves outside the ship, they could always get back in. A useful abettor that at this particular moment he deeply regretted. Not that the Guavians, if denied entrance, would have hesitated to blast their way in. At least this way, the big freighter wasn't damaged. As for that happening to him and Chewie, it remained to be seen.
No problem, he kept repeating to himself. You've done this 100 times before, with everything from helpers to huts. Just stay calm and collected, and baffle them with space dust.
They never made it to the cargo bay. In fact, they didn't have to look for the gang, because the gang found them. He and Chewie had hardly left Rey and Finn behind when a circular portal opened in the corridor ahead to admit 6 figures. All humanoid, 5 members of a helmeted, red-uniformed security team, and 1 man in a suit. Han recognized Bala Tick immediately. Confident, experienced, and at the moment all but bursting with barely controlled anger. Inclining his head slightly toward his companion, Han whispered confidently,
I got this. Leave it to me.
Chewbacca coughed something, not repeatable in polite Wookiee company.
Han Solo! Came the clipped voice of the gang leader. You are a dead man!
Not a very promising beginning, Han had to admit. Not that he had expected anything else. The gang leader wasn't one to waste time on false pleasantries. Smiling broadly, he nodded back.
Bala Tick, welcome aboard. Always good to see an old business associate. What's the problem?
His visitor was not amused.
The problem is we loaned you 50,000 for this job.
Peering through the grated hatch cover, Finn strained to hear what was transpiring down the corridor.
Can you see them?
An anxious Rey asked. He shook his head.
No, they're too far away. I can hear that they're talking, but I can't make out the words. At least they aren't shooting at each other. Yet.
Rey considered.
If they found Han and Chewbacca this quickly inside a ship this big, that suggests they've got at least short-range life-form detectors. Which means if one of them starts wondering about the possible existence of other crew members, they might find us.
She looked around.
We'll be safe enough here because we're close to one of the Rathtars. But if they start passing readouts, they'll separate us out from the cargo.
She nodded up the service crawl space.
I'm not going to sit here and wait to be plied out like a mythook in a burrow. The Falcon is this direction.
She started moving. Finn hesitated.
Han specifically said not to think about taking the Falcon.
She looked back at him.
He's talking to a Guavian death gang. It's not inconceivable that polite conversation might turn into uncontrolled blaster fire. If that happens, and Han is on the losing end, I'd like to have a chance to avoid the consequences. Like maybe being fed to the Rath-Tars? Coming?
Right behind you,
he replied with alacrity. Together they started moving fast along the crawlspace. Han smiled while spinning a ready response, having already anticipated Balatik's likely reaction.
Sure, right. 50,000. A modest investment on which you're going to make a big fat profit. Don't all my business enterprises pay off?
No,
the Guavian gang leader replied curtly. Han spread his hands wide.
Sure they do. I've never lost money on a single venture.
Yes, you have.
Balatik was relentless.
Hey, everybody who does business with me gets their money back, even if I lose.
No, they don't.
Relentless and cold. Cold as only the head of a Guavian death gang can be. Han responded with an exaggerated shake of his head and looked up at the Wookiee.
Can you believe this, Chewie? Out of the goodness of my heart and respect for everything this person represents, I bring to him the investment of the year, and all he can do is mock me.
He returned his attention to the silent Balatik.
I expect thanks, and all I get are insults. I didn't have to come to you, you know. I could have gone to anyone with this deal, and they would have jumped at the chance to get in on it. But no, I offered it to you. And this is my thanks?
His tone turned challenging.
What is it, Balatik? Don't you want your cut of the proceeds?
I want my 50,000 back,
the gang leader snapped. Han rolled his eyes.
Fine, fine, if that's the way you want it.
Kanji Club also wants their 50,000 back.
Han gaped at him.
What?
Kanji Club,
Balatik repeated calmly.
You also borrowed 50,000 from them?
Han strove to remain calm, though he could not prevent a bit of the color draining from his face.
That's a lie. Who told you that?
Kanji Club,
Balatik replied, without twitching so much as an eyelash. Han turned a disbelieving circle, his voice filled with outrage.
Oh, come on! You can't trust those little freaks!
Quiet crawling up the corridor serviceway had brought Finn and Ray to a position below and dangerously close to the intruders. At least, Finn told himself, they could now see and hear what was going on.
They have blasters,
she whispered. Finn nodded.
A lot of them.
Above, Han continued the dialogue.
Come on, Bala. How long have we known each other?
The gang leader was not about to be inveigled by smooth chatter, especially not when large loaned sums were involved.
The question is, how much longer will we know each other? Not long, I think. Unless we get our money back, and we want it back now.
The Rath-Tars are here, on board this ship,
Han shot back.
I know it's taken a little longer than I promised.
Way longer,
Balatik cut in.
Too much longer!
But I've got him. And King Prana is just waiting. No, he's eager to pay. Just be a little patient. You'll get your money back, plus the promised profit.
Balatik was growing impatient.
Says you! That is what you said when you borrowed the money. That's what you've been saying via communicator for some time now. Then you went silent. Failed to answer all communications.
I was busy,
an exasperated Han informed him.
Collecting Rath-Tars.
So you say. In the absence of any communication, we did not know what you were doing. With our money. We suspected the worst.
Han smiled afresh.
And now you know the truth. You're here, I'm here, and the Rath-Tars for King Prana are here. You think it's cheap hunting Rath-Tars? I spent that money. I used that money. Just let me make delivery, and you'll have your investment back. Come with me if you want.
The gang leader's gaze narrowed.
Come with you! Try to follow you in hyperspace so that you can lose us, take a roundabout route to King Prana, collect all the money, and disappear again? I think not. I don't trust you anymore, Solo.
He indicated his men.
We don't trust you. So give us our money back. Kanji Club wants their investment back too.
Han's reply was replete with frustration.
I told you, I never made a deal with Kanji Club.
Balatik gave an indifferent shrug.
Tell that to Kanji Club.
He nodded, looking past Han and Chewbacca. Both peered back the way they had come. At the other end of the same corridor, another portal opened. An additional clutch of armed intruders appeared, whereupon Han's face lost another bit of color. Though the newcomers differed greatly in appearance from the Guavians, he recognized them immediately from their patchwork armor and heavy gear. Kanji Club cohorts. Their leader, a long-haired, grim-faced, and thoroughly disreputable individual, wanted on at least 6 worlds, emerged from the group to confront him. For the second time in all too short a while, Han greeted an unwelcome boarder with a smile as wide as it was bogus.
Tasu Leech! Good to see you.
Han knew perfectly well that Tasu Leech would never deign to speak basic, so he was not surprised when the man replied in another language, one with which Han was fortunately familiar.
Wrong again, Solo! It's over for you, and for your associate!
Raising the weapon he held, Leech aimed it down the corridor. Chewbacca growled a response, causing Han to mutter under his breath.
Not now, Chewie. That won't help.
Han took a deep breath.
Guys, you're all gonna get what I promised. The merchandise is here. The buyer is waiting. I just need to make the delivery. Have I ever not delivered for you before?
Moving his hands deliberately and slowly, Tasu Leech made a show of activating his weapon.
Twice!
Han frowned. Leech was correct, of course, but Han wasn't about to admit it.
Twice?
Your game is old,
Balatik called out from the other end of the corridor.
You've played it too many times. Your excuses wore thin many years ago.
So many times. So many excuses. Everyone knows them now.
I stand here before you and can recite in my head the excuses you're going to make before you yourself can speak them.
You're tired, Han Solo.
Tired and old. Just like your game. There is no one in the galaxy left for you to swindle.
Nowhere left for you to hide,
added Leech, not to be outdone.
Usually a senile old fool knows when to retire. But sometimes, he simply needs to be retired.
He started to raise his weapon.
Wait!
Something had caught Balatik's attention. Taking a couple of steps forward, he peered between Han and Chewbacca. The short spherical shape sitting there moved slightly to its right, trying to stay hidden behind the Wookiee.
That BB unit...
Chatter says that the First Order is looking for one just like it, accompanied by 2 fugitives.
Han was remarkably indifferent.
First I've heard of it.
Below, straining for a better look, Ray sought purchase on a transition bar. Unfortunately, it was old and weak. Under her weight, it broke free, fell just out of reach of her fingers, and clanged against the floor. Everyone on the decking above reacted instantly to the sound. Tasu Leech's second-in-command, an unlovely character named Razu Kinfi, stepped forward.
Search the freighter!
Balatik ordered. Activating an illuminator, another of the Kanji group started down the corridor, aiming the light into every crack, transparent panel, and opening in the walls and floor. Ray and Finn started moving fast, away from the searchlight and along the crawl space.
We could die here, Ray said.
That's possible,
Finn kept up with her.
In fact, given the present circumstances, I'd say it's almost likely.
That's right, she muttered back at him.
Try to be optimistic.
He gestured upward.
We don't have weapons. We're relying on the fast talk of an old smuggler who may or may not have been a rebellion general, and we're trapped between a bunch of homicidal kanji clubbers and a Guavian death gang. Excuse me if I don't sound optimistic.
Keep moving, she snapped. Maybe we'll get lucky.
We'd better, he muttered in reply. Because we sure don't have anything else going for us.
Initially prepared to shoot Solo down where he stood, Balatik now found himself desirous of the answers to a few questions. There was no rush to kill the smuggler and the Wookiee. They were trapped in the corridor and weren't going anywhere.
Be cooperative, Solo, and maybe we can work something out.
Handed a lifeline, however short, Han was grateful for a chance to stall for time.
What do you want to know, Bala? Like I said, I don't know anything about the Order's interest in a BB model or some suspected fugitives.
Okay, then,
the gang leader replied.
We'll keep it simple. Where did you get the droid?
He's mine, that's where.
Han met Balatik's stare evenly. The gang leader was not intimidated, nor was he pleased.
I'm afraid that is not a satisfactory answer.
He smiled dangerously.
As you say, Han, we have known each other for a long while. In all that time, I've never known you to frequent the company of droids, of whatever station or model. Certainly not to be so protective of one.
Who says I'm being protective of it?
Balatik gestured.
It tries to conceal itself behind you.
Looking back, Han nudged the droid with a leg, but failed to shift BB-8 from its position.
I don't care where it puts itself. It doesn't take much to frighten a droid, Bala.
The gang leader nodded agreement.
Especially one that might be wanted by the First Order.
As Han and the gang leader argued, Rey halted her retreat so abruptly that Finn nearly crashed into her.
Now what?
He asked.
Please tell me you've stumbled over a couple of pulse rifles.
She was staring at a section of wall.
Maybe something even better. She tapped the cover that protected a slight bulge in the wall. If this is a flow panel for this corridor, I might be able to manually disrupt the programming. That would trip the emergency sequence and drop all the blast doors in this section. We can trap both gangs.
Finn considered.
Shut the blast doors from down here. Won't that trap Han and Chewbacca as well?
She was excited now.
Yes, but they'll be separated from the gangs.
We can work out how to get them out after we've neutralized the Guavians and the Kanjis. Redirecting the flow should do it.
It doesn't matter to what level. All we want to do is bring down the blast doors.
He nodded enthusiastically.
Let's do it. What have we got to lose?
She opened the panel, exposing the intricate flowtronics within, and set to work. Tools would have made it easier, but the system was designed to be set and reset as easily as possible. Finn lent a hand, following her lead. Above, Balatik was out of questions and out of patience.
Enough, Bantha!
Bantha? Now you want a Bantha? Han asked. What, 3 Wrathcars aren't enough for you?
We're gonna take that droid,
Balatik told him firmly.
And you're gonna give us our money back. Or you're dead, buddy.
Razu Kinfi spoke as he continued to ply the corners of the corridor with his illuminator.
Your choice, Solo.
Members of both gangs laughed. Han laughed with them, albeit uncomfortably. Even if he could keep Balatik talking, the Kanjis were notoriously poor listeners, and he was about out of clever things to say. That was when the lights began to flicker. Laughter faded as Kanji and Guavian alike regarded the now sporadic illumination with uncertainty. Distant components cycling on and off filled the corridor with a clicking and gnashing, like the cries of 1,000 mechanical insects. Han's eyes widened. With Chewie moaning beside him, he murmured softly,
I got a bad feeling about this.
Abruptly, the illumination in the corridor returned to life, brighter than ever. Below, Ray leaned back from the now modified flow panel.
Uh-oh. Finn looked from her to the panel and back again.
Uh-oh, what?
She turned to him, slightly pale. Uh-oh, wrong reflow. I didn't close anything. I opened everything.
He leaned close to the exposed panel, studying the interior lines.
Can you put it back the way it was? She shook her head rapidly. I purposely locked the reset, so that if there was a corresponding panel anywhere in the corridor itself, nobody could undo it and raise the blast doors. Except they're not going to close now, and everything else is going to raise up.
Finn stared at her. One thought in his mind. One word on his lips.
Rathtars.
Chapter 9.
Enough of this!
Balatik snarled. He looked back at his men.
New plan! Kill them! And take the droid!
Weapons came up. Han and Chewbacca looked around wildly, but in the smooth-sided corridor there was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Han closed his eyes, which was when something monstrous appeared behind the guardians. It was so large, it could barely fit in the cargo corridor. Tentacles whipped out to snatch up two of the gang, who screamed as their torsos were crushed. Whirling, howling, those who were still able to do so unleashed wild bursts of fire in the direction of their attacker. Those that struck the Rathtar barely caused it to flinch. Wisely, Balatik and the survivors scattered. Han opened one eye. Turning, he expected the burst of Guavian fire that had failed to reach him to be replaced by a similar barrage from the Kanji Club members. Except that another Rathtar had appeared behind them, and roaring deafeningly, was busily taking the aliens apart. Chewbacca let out a series of short, clipped moans.
No kidding, Han yelled.
Come on! Together, they raced for a side corridor. Under the guns and watchful eyes of both gangs, they never would have made it. But all remaining guns and surviving eyes were at present otherwise occupied. As misdirected blasts smashed into the crawl space around them, tearing streaks in the metal and threatening to make it impossible to move across the overheating floor, Finn and Ray found themselves crawling for their lives.
That was a mistake,
Finn howled, ignoring the pain in his hands and knees.
Huge,
Ray agreed. Above, Han nearly ran into one of the Guavians. Fleeing from the Rathtar behind him while shooting fruitlessly at the monster, the Guavian never saw Han and Chewie, though he did make the acquaintance of Han's fist. Staggering, he tried to bring his gun to bear on the new threat, only to be sent flying toward the Rathtar by the strong arms of the Wookiee. One tentacle caught the unlucky gang member before he could hit the ground.
Other direction!
Han blurted. Chewie moaned, while BB-8 beeped frantically. Finding instant agreement in three different languages, they took an access way that was, for the moment at least, devoid of Guavians, Kanjis, and Rathtars. Elsewhere, Razu Kinfi scuttled past a pair of Guavians who were racing full bore in the opposite direction. Their haste gave him pause, which enabled him to hail a fellow Kanji Club member coming toward him. Just before a tentacle emerged in that individual's wake to grab him and wrench him out of sight. Deciding that the two Guavians who had just passed him going like hell in the other direction might have a better handle on the situation, Razu whirled and retraced his steps. This brought him back to two surviving members of his own group. A hasty discussion determined they should avoid both ends of the corridor. Accordingly, they turned down another passageway, whereupon the third Rathtar grabbed the pair who had just counseled Razu. He fired at the creature with the same ineffectual result as before, and raced away. It was a big ship, he told himself. There had to be a place somewhere that was safe from the escaped Rathtars. On the other hand, if the Rathtars were between him and his own ship, he might never get off alive.
Working cooperatively as a pack, the carnivores would hunt him down along with every one of his companions. That was the thing about Rathtars. While they acted like mindless eating machines and didn't have very large brains, they were really good at working together. And fast. It was hard to believe how fast something that size could move. No, he was dead for sure. Unless he could somehow circle around them and back to where his ship was docked. As he ran, terrified of what he might encounter around the next quarter or in the next corridor over, his only solace came from the knowledge that that unspeakable sack of treachery, Han Solo, was certain to meet the same fate, and in the jaws of his own cargo. It was small consolation, but in his present dire situation, he clung to it. A tentative fin flipped open a hatch and looked down the brightly lit corridor. Nothing. Turning, he looked in the other direction. Nothing. No evilly chattering Kanji Club members, no heavily armed Guavians, and most important, no slobbering multi-limbed Rathtars. He climbed out, giving Rey a hand up, and pointed. "Falcon's this way." She hesitated.
"You sure?"
"No, but we can't stay here and wait for Kanji Clubbers and Guavians. We've got to try something." He was thankful, but hardly surprised to see how easily she kept up with him as they raced for a far corner. Surviving as a scavenger on Jakku ensured that she was in at least as good physical condition as the average trooper.
"These Rathtars?" she was asking him. "What do they look like?"
Rounding the corner, they were brought up short by the sight of surviving gang members doing battle with the subject of her query. It was enormous and round, covered in light-sensitive orange orbs and composed mostly of tentacles and teeth. Raising one hand to her mouth, she caught her breath, simultaneously mesmerized and horrified by the sight.
"They look like that!"
Finn reached over and took her arm, not caring this time if she objected. Back the way they had come, around another corner, only this time they didn't stop fast enough. One tentacle whipped around Finn's waist, and moving with incredible speed for something so massive, the Rathtar rushed off with the screaming trooper in its grasp.
"Finn!"
Though it was too big for her and too fast, she gave chase anyway. Fighting in a desperate attempt to break free, Finn realized he might as well have been wrestling with a steel cable. Neither pounding on it with his fists, nor kicking at it with his drawn-up legs produced the slightest reaction on the creature's part. He even resorted to trying to take a bite out of it. The hard, rubbery flesh proved impenetrable. At that moment, he would have given a limb for a blaster, even though small arms fire had shown itself to be largely ineffectual against the monsters.
"Finn!"
Not only had Rey lost sight of him, but now the Rathtar had moved so far ahead, she could no longer hear Finn's shouts for help. It was a futile exercise anyway. Suppose she did catch up. The Rathtar had more than enough appendages with which to sweep her into its grasp without letting go of Finn. Still, she kept running, keeping an eye out for anything that could be of use. Subsidiary Bay Control Room. She'd run all the way past the door before the full meaning of the words struck home. Halting, she ran back and slammed an open palm over the access panel. For an awful moment, nothing happened, and she was afraid that the relevant system was down. Then the door slid aside, admitting her. Ignoring entire banks of instrumentation, she made her way to a set of multiple monitors. Not only was the system not down, it was fully activated. There were clear views of motionless cargo, empty storage rooms, the Millennium Falcon, both the Guavian and Kanji Club vessels, and Finn being dragged down a main corridor by the Rathtar, dragged toward an empty intersection. One hand over the pertinent control, she leaned toward the monitor, watching, waiting, hoping that it would respond faster than the door that had led to this control room. "Wait," she told herself, suspecting that if she blew the opportunity, she might not get another. Or at least not another where she would have a chance to recover Finn in one piece. Slowing, the Rathtar edged forward, checking both cross corridors. No wonder they were so dangerous, she told herself as she kept her attention locked on the monitor. Reassured, the creature started forward again, dragging the increasingly weakened Finn behind it. Her hand came down on the control. An indicator flipped from green to red. On the monitor, a blast door descended with gratifying speed. The Rathtar reacted almost immediately, but not quite fast enough to prevent one of its tentacles from being severed by the emergency door. The tentacle, she had calculated, that was gripping Finn. The shriek of pain and fury from the Rathtar was horrible to hear. She paid it hardly any attention as she watched a dazed Finn struggle to his feet and commence fighting to extricate himself from the still clinging piece of amputated limb. Stunned by his unexpected escape, he was free of it by the time she arrived.
It didn't get you, he said unnecessarily. It had me.
He turned around.
But there was a blast door. Came down at just the right moment.
Lucky, she told him.
Which way did you say the Falcon was?
For a moment he eyed her uncertainly, unable to quite escape the feeling that there was something she wasn't telling him. No time for questions now, though. He pointed.
That way, I hope.
In another corridor, Bala Tick was talking to one of the gang's surviving members.
That thing's taken two of my men!
As he said it, a tentacle slipped forward to wrap itself around another screaming associate.
Three of my men!
The Guavian corrected himself. If they didn't do something soon, he knew, none of them would get off this cursed freighter alive. Even as he retreated, firing behind him, he could not keep from wondering how Solo, that worthless dispenser of devious schemes, had managed to pull it off. Capturing even one Rathtar was considered a near impossibility. Impounding three and then getting them aboard a ship alive and in good condition stretched all bounds of believability. Probably, an increasingly desperate Bala Tick thought as he let off yet another ineffectual blast, Solo had done it by talking all of them into a state of complete insensibility. At the far end of the main cargo corridor, the object of the Guavian's curses had taken cover together with Chewbacca and BB-8. Demonstrating unexpected determination in face of Rathtar-inspired bedlam, several members of both gangs had continued to pursue. Their persistent fire prevented human, Wookiee, and droid from crossing the cargo-crowded open bay to reach the waiting disc-shaped ship on the other side.
These guys must really want their money back,
Han thought, as he and Chewbacca returned fire with weapons they had recovered from where Rathtar-munched Guavians and Kanjis had dropped them. Having come this far, he was not about to be denied. Sidling around behind the Wookiee, he gestured across the bay deck.
I'll get the door.
Cover us! Moaning assent, Chewbacca let loose a ferocious barrage as Han, also firing, darted across the open space toward the Falcon. BB-8 went with him, judiciously choosing to keep the human between himself and the intruder's fire. Once back at his ship, Han methodically activated the portal via the external emergency controls. For the first time in quite a while, he felt some relief as the ramp lowered smoothly. Turning, he yelled back toward the corridor terminus.
Chewie, we're in! Come on!
Letting out a bellow that signified both recognition of Han's call and defiance of their remaining enemies, the Wookiee turned and raced for the waiting ship, only to be hit in the back of a shoulder by a lucky shot from one of the pursuing Guavians. The impact sent him crashing to the deck. Uttering a quiet curse, Han left BB-8 behind and raced back toward his injured co-pilot, firing as he ran. A single well-placed shot took down the Guavian who had hit Chewbacca.
Get up! Chewie, get up!
Striving to divide his attention between the wounded Wookiee and the gang members who were trying to break out of the far corridor,
Han got one arm underneath Chewbacca and strained with all his might. Oh, it was like trying to lift a mountain. A big, heavy, hairy, smelly, and badly bleeding mountain. One that he would no more leave behind than he would his ship or himself. Had the gangs been intact, he and Chewbacca never would have made it back to the Falcon. There would have been too many guns, too many blasts to avoid. But the intruders had been drastically reduced both in number and capability. The shot that had struck the Wookiee had really been as wild as the others. Together, Han still supporting the stumbling Chewie, the two of them started up the ramp. At that moment, the last thing either of them expected to hear was a recognizable, friendly voice.
Han!
Dodging the greatly reduced fire from the surviving gang members and keeping to cover as much as possible, Rey and Finn made it across the open deck to reach the Falcon. As they raced up the ramp, a grimacing Han gave orders.
You, shut the hatch behind us!
He instructed Rey, who nodded a swift response. To Finn he snapped,
You, take care of Chewbacca!
Half slipping free of his burden, half throwing the wounded co-pilot in Finn's direction, Han charged up the ramp. Nearly collapsing beneath the Wookiee's weight, Finn manfully did his best to help the moaning Chewbacca stay upright as the two of them staggered the rest of the way up the ramp.
How do I do that?
The trooper called after the pilot. To no avail. Han didn't answer. Chewbacca, on the other hand, groaned, bellowed, and chuffed suggestions. Understanding none of them, a willing Finn nonetheless nodded amenably in response to each one.
That's right. For sure. Yeah, I'll do that. No problem. Yeah.
Wincing as the Wookiee stumbled, Finn had to employ every bit of his strength to keep both of them upright.
If he falls on me, he decided worriedly, it's all over.
Somehow they made it to the medbay. Helping Chewbacca into the padded alcove that served as a bed, Finn eased the Wookiee in and started digging through the boxes of medical equipment that formed a line on the floor. This was something he could do, he knew, feeling considerably less helpless than he had when trying to assist Rey earlier. Every stormtrooper received training in how to deal with battlefield wounds. Hopefully the Wookiee's shoulder injury wouldn't present any distinctive surprises. In the cockpit, Han was hitting one control after another, bringing the Falcon back online. With each green telltale that lit up, a little of his own life did, too. He was startled when Rey arrived, and, without waiting for an invitation, settled down in Chewbacca's seat.
Hey, what are you doing?
He gestured back in the direction of the lounge.
Passengers back there!
Sliding her fingers over the console controls, she spoke while barely glancing in his direction.
Unkar, the guy who last had your ship, installed a fuel pump, too. If we don't prime it, we're not going anywhere.
She looked across at him sympathetically.
I hate that guy,
Han muttered.
I don't even know him, and I hate him.
No need.
Rey continued to bring instrumentation to life on her side of the cockpit.
I'll hate him on your behalf. Meanwhile, you could use a co-pilot.
Han frowned at her.
I got one. He's back there.
Raising his voice, he yelled toward the lounge.
Right? I've got a co-pilot?
A bellow of pain greeted his query.
Come on, Chewie! It's just a flesh wound!
Han heard Finn say. This observation prompted further bellowing, considerably more stressed, and carrying with it overtones of something approaching annoyance.
Fine!
Han shouted back.
Be that way!
Han's hands flew over the controls.
Fuel pump's primed. Watch thrust from your end. We're gonna jump to light speed.
She knew a lot about ships, all kinds of ships, but in all her studies, she had never come across the maneuver he had just proposed.
From inside the hangar? Is that even possible?
He was wholly at one with the Falcon now, focused intently on the instrumentation.
I never answer that question until after I've done it.
Further discussion regarding the viability of making the jump from stationary position to post light speed was interrupted by something enormous, ravenous, and bilious landing on top of the ship. Heavy thumping penetrated the cockpit, indicating that something was moving in its direction. This was confirmed a moment later by Ray's scream in response to the appearance of a giant radial mouth that all but covered the forward port. The tooth-filled mouth belonged to a Rathtar, which, perceiving the presence of living non-Rathtars inside the craft, was chewing its damnedest to get at them. Designed to protect against high-velocity meteoric impacts, the port suffered no immediate damage. Rathtars were notably persistent, however, and frustration only led them to redouble their efforts. Like the rest of them, their mouthparts were exceptionally robust. Design or not, Han had no intention of waiting around long enough to see whether the material of which the port was composed was tougher than Rathtar dentition.
"This is not how I thought this day would go," he muttered. "Shields up and angle 'em."
Ray worked the controls.
"Got it!" She glanced over at him. "Pretty muscular shields for a Corellian freighter."
"The Corellians build 'em the way I like 'em."
Under his skillful hands, more instrumentation and equipment came online.
"Of course, I've had a little tweaking done here and there. You may not believe it, but there are some people out there who don't like me."
"Hard to imagine," she murmured.
Seeing that the Falcon was powering up, a quartet of gang members took a chance in emerging from cover to fire at the ship. Though their shots were handled by the Falcon shields, the detonations resonated within. As far as Han could tell, everything was in readiness. There was nothing more to do but try it. He yelled in the direction of the medbay.
"Hang on back there! We're leaving! In a hurry!"
Having dealt with the basics of Chewbacca's injury, Finn was rummaging through the depths of the medkit he'd found in search of something stronger than a primary painkiller.
"No problem!"
he called back, fully aware that based on the preceding events of the day, there was likely to be one. So while expecting nothing less, he kept searching for something to mitigate Chewbacca's distress, even as the ship's shields absorbed additional blasts from the Guavian's weapons.
"Come on, baby,"
Han was murmuring.
"Don't let me down."
He pulled on the main hyperdrive control.
Nothing.
"What?"
Reaching across to his side of the console, Ray calmly activated the control he had not touched and spoke matter-of-factly.
"Compressor."
He glared at her, but only for a moment.
As he pulled slowly back on the drive control for the second time, he half-smiled at her. An enormous, overpowering thunder filled the cargo hangar as the Falcon's engines came to life. In deciding to rush the ship, the surviving gang members had chosen an unfortunate angle that put them directly behind the engines. When these came on, the Guavians disappeared. So did the corridor behind them, and the walls surrounding it, and a good deal more. In all, a respectable quantity of metal, plasticine, and ceramic alloy, comprising a modest chunk of the big freighter, vanished in the energetic backwash of the Falcon's swift departure. As for the Rathtar, it fell apart as the Falcon jumped through it, leaving telltale smears behind. In another part of the vessel, safely sealed off behind the blast doors that slammed shut immediately following the breach of hull integrity caused by the Falcon's unorthodox departure, a battered and infuriated Bala-Tik took time out from bemoaning the loss of his men and equipment to activate a deep space contact via the freighter's still functional communication system. Caught in the Falcon's explosive departure, his own vessel was in no condition to pursue. Neither was that belonging to the Kanji Club. But others might be. If he couldn't collect what Solo owed him, there remained the possibility of a reward for information. Contact established, he spoke into the pickup.
"My name He's Politique, a Mogovian trader. The personal history is available for general assessment by any who care to research it. My reputation is verifiable. I am letting it be known.